We get set for another exciting edition of the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, question number one is a two-part question that might not actually have two parts, depending on how you answer part one.
Excellent.
Here we go. Have you finished watching The Last Dance?
No, I have not yet.
All right. Well,
I have not yet.
It is not a two-part question.
Shoot me anything from it, though, if you want.
Oh, well, no. I just wanted to get what your thoughts. We talked about it at the end of yesterday's show and what your thoughts were on the whole I had food poisoning lie that they made up, which I don't understand why they wouldn't just go with I did have the flu instead of pretending that I had food poisoning.
All right. So let me pull up a tweet that relates to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That we had one of our great fans tweet at us today. Here we go. Dreamboat 01. I was wondering why they never looked into the restaurant that delivered the pizza to. A guy called into Dan Patrick today claiming he knows the employee at Pizza Hut who made the pizza. So, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing seems like one of those things that MJ just made up to add another layer to his fire and focus.
Well, it's like I certainly don't question that he was ill that night.
Of course.
Like, he couldn't have just faked his way through that the way he looked in that game. But I just, I think what happened, and we know that he had had a history of doing it when he disappeared to Atlantic City before a playoff game with the Knicks.
Sure.
I think he had gone gambling in Vegas and was probably drunk and hungover. But
that's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, but if you're gonna smack Dennis Rodman around for disappearing to tape wrestling during the NBA Finals, and well, you went off to Vegas to gamble and get drunk, then that wouldn't be a good look for you, but
if the flu story was already out, I don't understand why you would want to change that.
Well, and especially when, because I was watching it the other night with my wife, and my wife knows nothing about him having a flu game or zero. I mean, mm-hmm. My wife probably barely even knows that the Bulls won 6 titles with Michael Jordan. Okay,
right.
So certainly she wasn't aware that, oh yeah, he was sick and he scored 38 and the Bulls were, the series was tied at 2, and that was a huge scary thing. Like, they could have been down 3-2 because Jordan was sick, blah, 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 blah. But watching that the other night, that was the impression she got by the way they were telling the story, was that, yes, he had food poisoning, but the insinuation was that he had been poisoned.
Right.
And I just, that's where it's just the whole story is implausible. And even if it was like, I got food poisoning, even the idea of like 5 guys showing up to the room, they knew it was being delivered to Michael Jordan,
sure,
is just absurd to the point where I probably would have just stuck with I had the flu, since that's what everyone went with already, because the story you're telling now is complete BS.
Well, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it just it
like, why would you, here's why would you change it from the flu? I mean, that's legendary. It was the flu game.
Well, given that what we have learned earlier about the fact that he completely made up that a player from another team slighted him by telling him he had a good game, it's he's just like a pathological liar.
I think it might be one of those deals, and this has been interesting, that I think we all kind of knew how hyper-competitive he was. And we heard a lot of the stories, from the gambling stories to how he would just torture some of his teammates in practice. But the part that's a bit probably sociopathic, and listen, as a player, Jordan, again, he's the best I've ever seen. I was an enormous fan of his basketball. But I could see, and you read about things, or good gosh, all you got to do is watch some cop shows or movies about criminals who make things up, and then they begin to believe them. So I think for somebody who is as driven and who was as incredibly competitive as he was, like the story you were telling about, LaBradford Smith, it's one thing to make it up. It's another thing then when you believe it.
Yeah.
Even though, it's like I've always said, I really think that whole circus of an O.J. Simpson trial, by the end, those attorneys were so good, and the story was out there, and the spin and everything. I think he really believed he didn't do it. Like, he and his attorneys had convinced himself that this didn't happen.
I can believe that for OJ, that a horrific moment like that could be something that he just somehow blocked out of his mind and really didn't remember doing. You know, in a weird, we're just like, yeah.
No, they're telling me I didn't do it. I was really messed up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think by the end of it, Bob Shapiro was pretty sure that he had done it, which is why he
no
ended up where he was just sitting there. He wasn't even actively participating in the trial anymore.
Yes. No comment.
Yeah. I mean, it was just Johnny Cochran, and then you had F. Lee Bailey and a guy. Did they even bring in Alan Dershowitz for a period of time?
Yeah. I know we're tangenting here. I thought, Johnny Cochran gave a great summation there, and he had if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. But to me, the guy who really won it for him was Barry Scheck, because he got into all the DNA stuff. And I always thought Scheck proved the prosecution's point, but I think he just had everyone so confused with all the DNA talk and all that. I thought he was the key attorney in the case.
Well, I mean, I think it came down to yes, there's a 1 in 100 billion chance that somebody else could have similar DNA something. But you know what? I'm saying there's a chance. But I don't know. The whole Jordan thing with and knowing that he had a trip to Atlantic City before a playoff game with the Knicks. He played golf with Danny Ainge before a game they were playing with the Celtics. But
was that the 63-point game?
The 63-point game was the first game, wasn't it?
No,
of that
it was
series.
Game two.
Yeah, then it might have been prior to that. Yeah, but even with that, and just this, a guy that was selling merchandise, Be Like Mike, Gatorade, Nike, and on and on and on. He couldn't let it. He couldn't let it come out that I'm sick for this game. It's because I'm hungover because I was gambling in Vegas. But two things we know about him: he was a degenerate gambler, and he was he liked to drink a lot too. Although that was another thing when he was a rookie. I love that part. Oh, yes. I went to a hotel room, and every member of the Bulls was snorting cocaine, and they had women with them, but not me. I didn't do any of that. I didn't do anything. I didn't participate in that.
I could buy him staying away from the drugs part, not wanting to go down that road.
Yeah. I was the only one not doing it. All my teammates were in there, though, but
I swear to God,
me.
Mom and Dad, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
All right. Well, anyway, so you haven't gotten to it yet, but we'll see.
Well, I think with him, I don't understand why he would even want to bring that up afterwards. Because even if he was, listen, a lot of people have been drunk and hungover from Vegas. It happens. But it's like the flu story was already out there, so why would you even bring it up?
I maybe it has to do with Rodman was a guy that did that stuff too, and he was bad, and it was creating a wedge in the team or whatever. But what if it turned out that Jordan was doing the same thing?
Well, he probably was.
Yeah, right. Well, that would be to me more plausible than the idea that he contracted food poisoning from a pizza that was delivered to him by five guys because he couldn't find anything to eat that night in Salt Lake City other than a pizza joint, which I guess did turn out to be apparently a Pizza Hut.
Well, but again, like we said, that wouldn't be a thing where is Michael Jordan traveling with the Bulls with the layers of insulation you can't imagine. The layers of insulation between the team's PR director, the trainer, basically what amounts to the equipment manager, to his personal security, to the team security. As we talked about yesterday, this is Michael, room 1010 at the Ritz-Carlton. Yeah, I'd like to have a large pepperoni pizza delivered. No.
Well, and at hotel, if you order a pizza at a hotel anyway, they're never coming to your room anyway. We're in the lobby, right?
I mean, unless you're at a motel.
But somehow motel, that's it. But there is no lobby there.
No.
But you're just, so Bulls security let five guys up to Michael Jordan's room, basically, and the hotel. No, it's a ridiculous story, and I can't believe that that's what they're running with. And like I said, I would I would have just stuck with, if everyone believed you had the flu, I don't know why you just wouldn't have stayed with that instead of telling this completely implausible story about ordering a pizza that gave you food poisoning when you were probably, the real story is you were likely hungover.
Well, and the other part too, even if he did get sick off of the pizza, there's no way whoever was making that pizza knew that was for Michael Jordan. That's the number one point from that. There is no way.
Well, that's the, yeah, that, but apparently they did, because otherwise five guys wouldn't have shown up to, like, oh, yeah, man, I'm Michael Jordan's room.
Yeah, we're Jazz fans. We're going to poison this thing. But and I can just tell you, too, from traveling with Georgia for many, many years in a variety of sports, these hotels have – they have food there, and when the teams arrive, there's food there. And I would bet my last nickel that the Bulls training staff, there was food available for these guys. Because you also get, these are really enormous human beings. They can eat a lot. They can put a lot away. Yeah, they're going to get hungry. So there are going to be options from the hotel. And I can just, even on a, you know, much different level, just traveling with Georgia through the years, you know, the trainers would always, and I'm just talking about like Georgia basketball, would always have, you know, some bread and some bagels and some peanut butter and, you know, some of those Nutri-Grain bars or what. There would always be something to eat. And in big cities like Salt Lake, you're the Chicago Bulls, you're staying in that hotel. I would be willing to bet part of the deal, too, is that, like, yeah, you need to make sure room service is available basically 24 hours a day.
That I would, and even if, all right, fine, we're shutting our room service down, even for you, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, I still have a hard time believing then that the only place open in Salt Lake City
right
that night was a Pizza Hut.
Yeah. You would think.
Yeah, and one that that somehow knew they were making a pizza for Michael Jordan.
That's the most implausible part to me. If it just so, and I get it, this was 1998. Maybe this hotel said, yeah, well, no, you know, hey, you want to stay at somewhere that's not a Ritz-Carlton? Hey, that's up to you, but we're closing our kitchen at 11 and it's not opening back up till 6. Well, so be it. I find that hard to believe. But again, there is no way on earth that those people making that pizza knew they were making that for Michael Jordan. He did not pick up the phone and call, yeah, I need a large pepperoni pizza. Yeah, it's Michael. I'm staying at the Ritz-Carlton room 1010. No chance of that.
Yeah.
They have people to do that.
But then it goes beyond. It'd be one thing if you just kind of left it at, all right, I ordered a pizza and I got food poisoning. I can see
okay.
That. I mean, something could go bad on it. But that's
– sure, sure.
They certainly were like – hinting that they felt like it had been poisoned
because
deliberately,
which also gets back to, there's no way they knew that was for Michael Jordan. This is, he has his either his trainer or personal assistant or security guy, or again, probably that's one of those that would go through the team's training staff, like, hey, Chris, I'm hungry, you got to find me something. All right, no problem. Hey,
yeah,
how's a pizza? That's all we got. All right, that's fine.
I mean, it was basically his own personal trainer that ordered it. So maybe, you know, Jordan had worked it out where, you know, that guy had, you know, he had status over the Bulls trainer or something. But either way, it's like, so wait, that guy, he called up and ordered the pizza and said that, oh, yeah, I'm ordering
I'd like to
order a pizza for Michael Jordan.
Make it extra good, please.
Yeah, he's really hungry.
That whole thing is implausible.
So if they decide they don't want to go with flu and they come up with the food poisoning, and maybe that was the thing, they wanted to suggest that somehow he had been poisoned and that would be a cute story or something. But then if it's not that, then what's the real story? And I would think, well, based on his history, what's more plausible is he had been out, because Vegas and Salt Lake City are not far apart.
I would guess they're hourly flights, just like out of Phoenix.
Yeah, that he probably had gone down there and he was probably hungover.
What am I talking about, hourly flights? Like, he couldn't just get a plane to go. I mean, duh.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That was a dumb statement.
All right, anyway, moving on in the 5-5 now. Mentioned that USC and Ole Miss have scheduled a non-conference home-and-home series for 25 and 26. Jeff, you were surprised when I told you that Ole Miss, in its history, has only played one Pac-12 school, and that first meeting with the Pac-12 school happened in 2017 when they faced Cal, and they played them last season in Oxford to finish off that home-and-home. So, and I was actually surprised when I saw that, too. Like, Ole Miss has never played anyone from the Pac-12 until 2017. So that brings me to the question, which is, what is the most surprising opponent an SEC school has not faced?
You're talking about in history. So, like, Michigan wouldn't be the answer because we've played them.
Michigan could be because, you know, LSU has never played them.
So you're talking about just not the conference as a whole.
Right, just any school that has never played a team. Because, like, well, LSU has never played Michigan.
Was that the answer, or is there
– How about Auburn has never played Notre Dame?
Okay. Because I think we've hit Michigan, Ohio State, USC, granted it was in the 30s, Penn State. But, I mean, I think we've hit every big school, Oklahoma.
If you pull up a list of college football programs and the all-time wins, the highest-ranked team we've never faced is Minnesota at number 28, all-time in wins.
That's pretty impressive. So, all right, so let's see. So, Auburn has never played Notre Dame, LSU and Michigan. Has LSU and Southern Cal ever played?
Yes. LSU has played everyone in the Pac-12 except Washington State, Cal, and UCLA, who they will play next season.
Okay, because they had a home-and-home with Washington, you know, fairly recently and also back in the 80s. And I remember when they played Oregon State and had that single game there with Oregon. I think Alabama hadn't played Michigan a ton. They did play Ohio State in that Sugar Bowl. I think that might be – no, they played them in a kickoff classic. I think it was Derek Thomas's first game.
Yeah, they've barely played, though. And Bama and Michigan played last year in, I guess, the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, they had last played in that Orange Bowl that was a pick 'em, 35-34, missed PAT in overtime. Let's see, Florida would be an interesting one. They did play Southern Cal back in the early 80s. I don't think they have much of a history against the Pack. Yeah, they obviously played Ohio State.
Yeah, the Gators have they've only played half of the Pac-12, but they have scheduled future games with Colorado and Arizona State, who they've never played. So they'll knock those two off the list.
They played Michigan in that game in Dallas. And they also beat them, yeah, when Lloyd Carr's last game, or Michigan beat Florida. Obviously, they played Ohio State. And that Ohio State really hadn't played any regular season against SEC. Very limited. Yeah, so I would say that's probably a good one, that LSU-Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's really is the best
that
one.
That would be the best one.
Just going on the – if you look at all-time wins for programs, the highest-ranked school that Bama has never played is Pitt, who are 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's never played Pitt either, but they've never played Notre Dame, so that would supersede Pitt.
What about Florida and Washington?
Florida and Washington have played.
Okay. Because that'd be kind of cool, too, kind of the, you know, about as, you know, obviously, well, Miami and Washington would be even further, but that'd be kind of a cool one.
Florida and Washington have only played once. That was in 1989.
Was that like the Aloha Bowl?
It was the Freedom Bowl.
The Freedom Bowl.
In Anaheim.
Okay.
Washington beat them 34-7.
There you go. You go, Huskies. So, yeah, that's a pretty good list. So, Auburn with Notre Dame. Yeah, and basically most of them are going to be SEC Pac-12 deals because of what started happening in the 90s with the SEC Big Ten tie-ins to all those bowl games.
Yeah, Auburn has played seven of the 12 Pac-12 schools, but UCLA and Cal are two they've never played. They've actually got future dates already scheduled with those two.
What about Auburn, Ohio State? I'm trying to think if anything comes to mind
on
that.
Yeah, Auburn is interesting. The only two Big Ten schools they've never played are Illinois and Iowa. So they've played 12 of the 14 there. It's not many, but let me see. Auburn and
they must have played Ohio State in like an Outback Bowl or something. Unless there's an obvious one that's
Yeah, they've only played twice. The last was in 1990.
Wow.
In the Hall of Fame Bowl, and they played 1917, too,
wow.
Which
so
was a scoreless draw.
So the Hall of Fame Bowl, I believe that was in Tampa.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so.
Because
yeah.
Didn't we play Boston College there once, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, 1986.
That's what became the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, they beat us on a last-second touchdown. Bitter pill.
No, sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Didn't they beat us again?
Yeah, in Coach Rick's first year when we punted with like a minute and 20.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, I don't think we've ever beaten them, or we might have in the 50s. I think we're like 1-3 or 1-5 against them.
I feel like we've beaten them because
we did one of those things, but I mean we're losing the series. Yeah, we played them back in the 50s.
Yeah, because they're not on that list of
like
schools
Pitt.
That we should play because we've never beaten
like
them.
Pitt and Houston.
Pitt and Syracuse are the two in the ACC.
Right.
We have a losing record against Wake Forest, too.
Yeah, they beat
That's
us
not
in,
good.
Beat us in 1979.
Although, I guess the Jamie Newman transfers even that rivalry up, hadn't it?
I don't know. That was a bad one. 22-21 back in 79. That wasn't good.
Well, the next year made up
the
for
next
it.
Year, and who knows? Maybe the next year doesn't happen. Without that. So we think LSU, Michigan, that would be a good one. Auburn, Notre Dame would be good.
Those are really the two of the – just going through the Big Six, because Tennessee, like I said, has had a good non-conference resume, although they've never played Michigan State and they've never played Washington. But they've played every ACC school, obviously. They've played every Big 12 school, and they've played 12 of the 14 Big 10 schools. The only two they haven't played are Sparty and Illinois.
And they do have a history of playing the Pac-12. Even back in the 60s, they played UCLA.
Yeah, they've played 8 of the 12 there. So Tennessee has actually got the the most games against other the Power 5 leagues.
And I think a lot of that also goes back to back in the day, and again with – it does give you some advantages. Like when you look at Tennessee and Vandy, their rivals were in conference teams. So they didn't have like Georgia versus Tech. You know, Florida had Miami and Florida State, South Carolina and Clemson deal. So it was easy for them to go out and try and just find a game. They used to play Notre Dame a lot too.
Yeah, they would do that. I had a little deal with Miami too not that long ago.
They did.
And they go to Oklahoma this fall.
They sure do.
Jeff, finally, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5. I saw today the Academy. That would be, you know, the Academy that hands out the Oscars.
Right.
They were asking for you to describe your favorite movie in 3 words. But I've decided to give this a little twist.
Uh-huh.
I want you to describe your favorite Georgia football victory in 3 words.
Utter... complete demolition.
All right, let me see if I can guess what game that would be. Utter, complete demolition.
It's a tie between two games. I can never pick between the two.
I mean, then one of them has to be 51-7 over Tech, right?
No, it was the 81 Tech and the 82 Florida games.
Oh, okay.
We beat Tech 44-7 as a defending national champion. We had clinched the SEC title. We were number 2. First play of the game, Ballou to Scott, 80 yards. Herschel scored 4 touchdowns. Butler kicked 3 field goals. And then the next year, we beat Florida 44-0 and vaulted to number 1. And we're on our way to a 3rd straight SEC title. Those narrow wins are too nerve-wracking. If I could go back and relive like the whole days, those would be my two.
No, I know the thing with the narrow wins, and we've been...
Nah, it's too nerve.
No, I know we've been running our Georgia football classics. We've got the 92 Tech game coming up this week. But, I think a key for the future, and Kirby's done a pretty good job of this the last couple of years, is to have fewer classic games.
And the thing about the 51-7 over Tech, that was a sweet one, but we had the SEC championship the next week. Had that been prior to the conference title games... And had we beaten Tech 51-7 to go, well, at that point 11-1, but, 10-1, 11-1, SEC champions, and you get to soak it in for a month? Heck yeah. But, I mean, we had to get ready for Arkansas that next week.
It's crazy how 52-7 did not feel like a...
No.
Yeah.
That second,
that
quarter,
second
was
quarter
just horrible.
Yeah. But, hey, 52-7, take that. Now we're going for 223-0 next year.
Jeff Collins, have you noticed too his golf shirts that he wears? The sleeves are kind of, they're those shorts, really short sleeves.
Yeah, they're the short, they're the schmediums. That's the size shirt he wears.
There you go.
They're very tight on him, yeah. Well, that's so when he does those push-ups, he really gets that pump going. You can see those, that blood rushing through those arms and that chest.
Not that, you know, it has anything to do with who wins and loses, but we were aware of those push-ups.
Oh, I would hope we were, and I would hope that, you know, when Kirby looked across the field and saw the opposing coach doing push-ups after recovering an onside kick that featured a follow-up drive where they gained maybe a yard, mm-hmm. if that. I think maybe they went backward, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, that was the moment Kirby went, I'm never losing to this guy.
I hope so.
All right, the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.